Are you gay?
Geeky?
Just enjoy hearing your good Judy's dish about the latest in pop culture?
Well, then you're in luck.
The boys of Flame On are here for you.
In every episode, we discuss the topics that entrance us.
Whether it's comics, TV,
movies,
drag queens,
or video games,
we've got you covered.
So, if you're ready for your gay and geeky slice of pop culture life,
then sit back and get ready to
Flame On!
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The following program, Flame On, is presented by the Nerdy Show Podcast Network. Geeky programming for nerds all across the multiverse. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by A Comic Shop, Orlando's number one comic shop and nerd destination. And with the generous support of listeners like you. To learn how you can support this and other fine geek programming, visit nerdyshow.com.
ComicBento.com. They are our newest sponsors for Flame On, and they want you to know about their original graphic novel subscription service. If you go to ComicBento.com, you can save $5 off any subscription. You can get new and original graphic novels from big name creators to indie unsung heroes. Try it out. Let them know what you think. Cancel it if you don't like. But put in code name Nerdy, and not only will you save $5, you will help us continue to bring original content to Flame On. ComicBento.com, code Nerdy. Welcome to Flame On. I'm Brian. I'm here with everyone. Hey, everyone.
Hi.
Hi.
So we got Oral to my left.
That's me.
Jared.
Hello.
BJ.
Hey.
And producing the show from behind his not glass-walled booth, Pat.
I could only hope for a glass wall someday.
Someday. So yeah, we are here. This is a full cast recording. We are here to talk about all the gayest and geekiest things that we have experienced in the last, gosh, it's been over a month-ish, two. I mean, we've done our little, you know, deep dives on Star Wars, which you heard in the feed previously, Force Awakens. And of course, coming up, what you have not yet heard, is our thoughts on Jessica Jones, recently announced, renewed for season two.
Yep, I just heard that today.
Shocked.
I know. None of us shocked. Yeah, this is our full cast. We're missing my brother. He's off doing Mr. Dad things, and Eric is off selling houses and being fabulous.
One day, he's gonna make enough money to take me away from all of this.
Nice. But yeah, so everything gay and geeky. That's what we do. If you've never heard us before, I'm glad you're here, and we're gonna jump right on in on a really sad and somber note. This past week that we're recording, and the 2 weeks from when you're hearing this, was a week of death.
Thousands of people have died.
And I don't mean like, you know, millions in Rwanda or anything. That would be bad. This is like people you may have heard of on the internets. So like David Bowie. Let's start with him. This is the one I care the most about as a musician and as someone who just loves
what?
David Bowie.
Did you just cheapen the passing of... You never...
That was called a joke?
It was a bad one.
Oh.
Too soon.
Sorry.
Too soon.
No, it's right. Not too soon. Like, jokes can be said. You just have to make them good ones, Brian.
I need to consult with you, honey. I know you do write some humor. How's that stand-up career going?
So we're just going for the digs today?
Fire Listen, everywhere.
They love it when we do this.
Anyway, I'm just playing dead over here.
No, I want to give David Bowie his few moments on our show because it's something that's very important to me. He's someone that's very important to the Nerdy Show Network. Cap wrote a fantastic kind of exploratory piece on consequence of sound about is he dead, and it's not meant in a
it's not as simple as is he actually physically alive. It's more than that. But it's a fascinating account, fascinating analysis of David Bowie's life and death in art. And his death, I think, like his life, was a piece of art in a certain way. The album Black Star, if you've not heard it yet, it's quite a good Bowie album, no matter what happened. I mean, I started listening to it the day before he died and just fell in love with it. The videos for Black Star and Lazarus, if you've not seen them, are really poignant and kind of, they're cast in a new light now that he is dead. But, I mean, the guy had a huge career, influenced countless other artists, both music, visual, whatever else. I mean, people just love David Bowie, and I am really happy that his death has sort of transformed him into something more than he was already. So I don't know. What do you guys think? Are you Bowie fans?
I just know that now that he has passed, he's turned into a barn owl and flew away.
I love that.
My sexual awakening was Jared.
Get out.
Really? No, it's true. Like, so Labyrinth for me has always been one of my favorite movies, especially because everybody knows that the Dark Crystal really fucking creeps me out.
It's creepy.
But I remember the first time I watched it, it was one of those things that I got a sense that I don't know if I should be watching this because I'm getting more out of it than I think I should be. But it was from the Henson Company, so I could sneak it on by. Just sneak it on by. But there was something about the way he carried himself that I always dreamed that my prince would be able to make crystal orbs appear out of nowhere. Serenade me in a MC Escher and type castle.
Dress you up in a ballerina ball and give you the world if you just give up your baby brother.
Still a baby.
Is that how that worked?
In a heartbeat.
Well, so it's funny you said that about your sexual awakening, because I watched it, I think I was older even when I saw it, but maybe not. My mom didn't like me watching it, and I didn't know why. It never occurred to me that it was because of his pants until years later, and she was like, oh my God, that's indecent.
That was intentional. He was supposed to be this sexualized rock star character in that film.
And I didn't get that at all. To me, he was just a traditional villain. Like, I honestly didn't have a thing for him.
That was around his like height, too. Like, when people were... That was when he was really big, wasn't it? Or was that after?
A little after.
A little after?
I think he's had a good run, and a lot of it was in the 70s and early 80s. And so the movie came out, 85? Ish somewhere in
yeah,
there.
Yeah, somewhere in there.
But no, definitely people knew David Bowie.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was a great movie, and I finally made Pat watch it after he mistakenly thought that David Bowie looked like Finola Jones. Finola Hughes? What's her name? I'm getting a nod. Finola from Generation X, the movie. The White Queen.
Okay. Oh, wow.
Oh, snap. Oh.
Finola Hughes.
Okay, there you go.
Also known as Anna Devane from General Hospital.
Oh, and then, yeah.
And then she played Emma Frost in the Generation X movie on Fox, yes.
The television movie. I remember seeing
that. Oh, my God. I watched it the other day, actually.
But having gone back and seen a picture, I'm like, okay, I get that. Especially with the hair. The hair is that makes all the difference. But no, so Bowie's career, like, he was a sax player in a like a rock band when he started out as Dave Jones. His name's David Jones. Had to change it, of course. Why? Because of the monkeys, yep. Right? And
he didn't have to change it. He did so that way nobody would confuse him with Davy Jones from the monkeys.
That's what I meant.
Yeah, but no, but he didn't have to do it.
No one was holding a gun to his head.
He just didn't want to do it because he didn't want his career to be confused when he was just getting started out.
Yeah, so I mean, and rightfully so, because I mean, Davy Jones is Davy Jones, right?
Yep.
And why did he take the name Bowie?
I don't know.
After the guy that created the Bowie knife.
Okay. He just liked the knife.
Apparently.
He married Iman, a fabulous, fabulous model, and was with her for, over 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
They had a really long marriage and children and lived fabulous lives. And now he's left this huge legacy, including his son, was it Duncan Jones, I believe?
I never kept up with his children.
Who made the movie Moon. Fabulous, great sci-fi movie.
Huh. Mm-hmm.
And the whole Black Star album itself is, I guess, the first of many. He left many recordings. This is a lot of musicians do. Mm. And just kind of said, you know what, here, if you guys want to put these out over the next however many years, go for it. But I read an article that Dave Visconti, who's the producer of Black Star, is going to be working for years to come on new albums for him, but from material they've already recorded, lending credence to the fact that David Bowie may actually be alive somewhere, just off living his life.
I feel like everybody says that about dead musicians in general.
It's a cool, like, it's like the Elvis effect, right? You know?
Well, like, David Bowie's the only one I'd really hope that was true for. Like, everybody else, I'm like,
I want him to go off and be, like, the head of a secret spy organization, like, from Venture Brothers. Did you guys ever watch Venture Brothers?
Yeah, yeah, we have the Sovereign.
And the Sovereign, yeah. Like, that would be a fantastic sort of second life to, for him. Now, other people did die. I want to give them their due. Alan Rickman, who, if you're a Potter fan, if you're a Slytherin especially, this is an important person. I think probably that the most. I never watched Die Hard, which is shocking, I know. But I know him, of course, from that as well. But, I mean, what else did you guys love Alan Rickman in?
Oh, God.
He was the voice of the robot in
Hitchhiker's
Guide. Thank you.
Yep. How could I forget that? Oh, my God. Was, he, Marvin.
He was Metatron in Dogma.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
He was, oh my gosh.
Colonel Brandon in Sense and Sensibility.
Yep.
Okay.
He was Judge Turpin in Sweeney Todd.
Oh.
Along with, and the guy that played his henchman was the actor that played Wormtail in Harry Potter.
How did I forget that?
I don't know.
I haven't watched that in a while, the movie adaptation. So, I mean, Rickman had a huge career, and it was kind of creepy when he died, because Bowie was 69, Rickman was 69.
Both cancer,
both sort of out of nowhere. A lot of people didn't know about either's medical conditions. From there, of course, we had other people like Dan Haggerty.
Yep.
From The Bear, what is it? What
was Grizzly Adams.
Grizzly Adams. I think he was older than that. Celine Dion, okay, of course, gay icon, right?
Celine Dion did not die.
No.
Please don't get upset.
There was an ellipses there. I just hadn't finished.
You can't ellipses when you're talking about death, and then you're like Celine Dion. Not that I'm a huge Celine Dion fan, but it's like,
that buried
Taraji P. Henson won an award. Like,
we're talking about death. Taraji P. Henson. His uncle's brother's sister died.
So Renee.
Yes.
Renee Angelil.
And her brother.
That's kind of messed up.
That is messed up.
Natalie Cole died.
That's true. Since we've recorded 2 weeks, a week prior, she had passed away, which is also tragic because she was fairly young.
She was 65, if I'm not mistaken.
So it's just been people just dropping like crazy. If you have a loved one out there and they are at all famous, you should hug them and keep them close.
Jesus Christ, what the fuck is wrong with you?
If you have a loved one and they are not famous,
kick
fuck
them.
Fuck them. Yeah. Oh,
Jesus. You have my permission to do that, too.
It was also the guy that did the voice in the Robin Hood movie, the Disney animated Robin Hood movie.
Broadway.
He passed away, too.
Yeah, that's right.
At some point, I think we're just scraping the bottom of the barrel.
Oh, yeah. No.
He had a famous Broadway career, and I cannot think of his name. And I saw his picture, and I was like, I don't know who that is. But the voice of Robin Hood, I do get.
The day Whitney died was the biggest shock for me. So everything else has just been noticeably sad. Like, I won't say it's not sad.
I remember when Bobby Christina passed.
I think that was the saddest one for me.
Bobby Christina?
Uh-huh. I'm like...
That's true.
It's like Bobby Brown chilling out all by himself now, his entire family. And I'm like, I figured Bobby Christina was fine.
You would take up Bobby Brown's side.
I didn't...
Honestly, she was in a coma for so long that I don't even know when she died.
Oh,
that's true.
She died the day she overdosed in the tub, and they just kept that poor girl alive for much longer than they needed to, unfortunately, which is sad.
It is. Let us move on. There was a Golden Globes ceremony. What is it? Movie, TV, music. It's like the whole smorgasbord of awards.
It's the award ceremony where you drink a lot.
Yep.
Yes. Isn't
this the foreign press awards? These are the foreign press are the ones that decide these awards.
It is completely bunch of bullshit.
So that's why everybody drinks so much. I love it.
It is almost a farce as far as an award show. Not in the production. The production's fine. But yeah, this foreign press thing is so opaque. No one knows who they are. Or everybody. So there was a few big moments in this that I know of, and I didn't watch it. I know the meme is going around of Lady Gaga is walking by
Leonardo DiCaprio.
Yep. Thank you. And Leonardo, of course, I guess supposedly was sort of oblivious to what was going on and had been drinking and made a face when Lady Gaga passed by and, you know, was like, ooh, what's that? And so that was a big to-do. Ricky Gervais, I think, called out a few people. I mean, as he does.
Oh, yeah.
Brutal. But, like, I guess he, like, whispered something to Mel Gibson that they later released was, what exactly does sugar tits mean? Which I thought was pretty funny. I don't know. What else? Did anybody watch it?
I don't watch the Golden Globes.
Yeah.
I do it like I do with all award shows, is I go on YouTube after and look at all the...
Yeah, exactly.
The award show reel of mistakes and people tripping and stuff like that.
I will watch, like, the Grammys DVR, and I will watch the Academy Awards, sometimes live, because I do care about those. Those are a little more reputable. But, like, just, yeah, Golden Globes is like... But Golden Globes sometimes is a barometer for what's going to happen at the Oscars. So, I mean... I guess
the Golden Globes are like the daytime Emmys. Nobody cares.
Susan Lucci cares, okay? That's about it. Lady Gaga did win for American Horror Story as Best Actress. What?
Yeah, I need to finish that season.
Which is why Leonardo DiCaprio made a face when she was announced as
the
winner.
Is that the real reason?
And then that was what preceded Lady Gaga, like, shoulder checking him as she walked by his table.
Gotcha.
And, you know, I'm a casual Leo fan. He was amazing in Growing Pains. That's when he was the cutest.
You think he was really good in that? I mean, he was cute as a little kid, but was he good?
Did I not totally give you a qualifier with what I said?
Okay, you're right, you did.
But he's made some terrible movies. Anybody remember The Beach?
Oh.
Like,
God.
The Aviator, which is supposed to be this, like, great portrayal, didn't really do much for most people. Like, it got some acclaim. But, you know, for someone who hasn't won the awards that he wants, for him to look down on somebody who did win an award, whether you think they deserved it or not, you know, is kind of shitty. But then again... I haven't watched American Horror Story this season, so I can't judge.
We're going to get to that, because we do want to talk about that.
I totally agree with Leonardo's face, though. I mean, I should say I totally agree with Leonardo DiCaprio's judgment of her win.
Can you describe the way you're portraying this character?
I can. It's like you're holding a ping pong ball in your vagina, and I don't have a vagina, but I figure that's what it feels like. That's how she's talking.
I thought it was more like when Kanye West recorded Through the Wire and his jaw was wired shut and he still rapped through it. And that's exactly how Lady Gaga decided to do all of her lines this season.
See, I think that you are Hayden Panettiere portraying yourself in the Lady Gaga biopic.
What? And we're in Lady Gaga? I didn't know that. Hayden Panettiere? Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I missed that completely. I want to see it now.
I miss the fact that there was a Lady Gaga biopic
out there.
I know.
I want to see it.
Stop ruining my jokes. Stop ruining my jokes.
We're gonna have to cast this movie now. Somebody get Hayden Panettiere on the phone. She's not doing much. I mean, yeah, Nashville, but
Nashville's
that's it.
Doing good.
Did they ever save her?
I don't know.
No, she died.
No.
Taraji P. Henson won an award, finally.
Yes. And that was probably one of the best for a cookie on Empire.
Oh, awesome.
Yep.
You know the show that has a lot of diversity that you're not watching?
Listen, I just heard it's kind of...
here we go.
Actually, I heard good things about it, but I heard it's good things for a ridiculous show that's just all over the place in tone, not in subject. So I don't know.
I heard season two isn't as good as season one. Or I don't know if it's the season's ended yet, but I heard that season two doesn't live up to season one's... excellence.
I mean, well, some shows have a sophomore slump. Like, it happens. Mm-hmm. That's the natural... Oh, yeah. I mean, it's a natural progression sometimes when you create something. It's like, your first thing, really great. The second thing, people kind of don't like so much.
Or your sixth season of a horror genre anthology ending with everybody sprinkling sunshine everywhere and dancing on rainbows and unicorns.
We'll get to that.
No?
We're going to get to that.
Yeah, Taraji's win is one of those things that, you know, Black Hollywood has been waiting for because she's been in so many things.
She's been in a lot of stuff.
The same with Regina King. Like, Regina King has worked for decades and you don't get a lot of respect. And yes, you have your breakout stars, your Denzels, your Will Smiths, your, you know, Octavia, your Violas. But I mean, for every, you know, three people that make it, there's 70 that have given us so many amazing roles and touching moments in television and movies and music, and they don't get their due diligence. They don't get their credit where credit is due.
What do you think about the Oscars?
Not surprised.
Who's surprised? I'm not surprised. And I was talking with someone, and I was drinking, so I kind of let something slide.
Oh, boy.
Because I didn't want to seem so angry. But, you know, when people say we have other things to worry about, I agree with that. But in theory, you can worry about a lot of different things. Like when, you know, parents become parents, when people become parents for the first time, they're worried about their kids' education. They're worried about, you know, am I providing enough for them? They're worried about, you know, are they safe and secure in our home when I'm not there? So, you know, people who want representation in the media and also don't want to get shot in the streets can worry about the same thing, because you're like, a high tide raises all boats.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I was when I read that, I was really bummed, because I'm like, why? Why is this the case? It doesn't need to be this day and age. Why is Oscar Isaac up here? What is his deal with the miniseries? I have no idea.
I know. I have actually. He won. I think he won an award for. He was in a miniseries. Okay. He won an award for. Okay. It. I can't remember what miniseries
and
it was.
What is he playing? Is he Apocalypse? Is that who's playing Apocalypse?
Yeah.
Okay. So Poe Dameron is Apocalypse.
Yes.
Okay. I didn't make that connection. I really never did.
Where have you been?
I missed that. I really.
Everyone's super excited. This man, even if his career tanks.
Yep.
Which it won't. He will ride that con circuit to the day he dies.
And everyone really thinks he's pretty. I don't quite see it, but all right.
I think he's pretty.
I just don't get it. But if he is the gay Star Wars hero, then I'm great with that.
You don't think he's attractive?
He's okay.
I think he's attractive. I don't think Adam Driver is.
I don't think Adam Driver is either.
You can have his hair oral.
We had this discussion already.
Yeah, we don't even have that. If you would like to hear more, editor's note, go back to our Star Wars episode last
week. We didn't have that discussion. Oral just gushed about how much he loved Oscar Isaac.
I'm pretty sure.
Did anyone watch SNL last night?
No.
Why?
We are recording on a Sunday. I know. I don't blame you either. But I guess Adam Driver had a bunch of different things, including a gay porn shoot that he was like the doctor, air quotes. And he also was Kylo Ren as a hidden
undercover boss.
Undercover boss skit. I watched that today. That was actually really funny.
Yeah, I mean,
I didn't find it that funny.
I didn't either, honestly. But the idea of it is funny, but the execution, like much of SNL these days, is lacking. So, yeah.
Everybody else in that skit was funny.
Yeah.
Adam Driver didn't really bring home funny with it.
And I don't even think he channeled his character very well. I mean, but not that there was a whole lot to channel.
Before we finish up with the Golden Globe stuff, Oscar Isaac won for Best Actor Limited Series or TV Movie with Show Me a Hero. That's what he won his award for.
Oh, he was in that. That's the guy who did The Wire. I can't think of his name. But same. Okay. That's
right. I think I saw something about it. It was set in Brooklyn.
It was about
the gentrification of the area of Brooklyn and all that.
Oh, that was on HBO.
Yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
So that's what he won for. And then tell me this. How the fuck did Sam Smith win for Best Original Song for Writings on the Wall? How the fuck? Is it because he's from, like, is it because he's British? Like, the foreign press is like, okay, we go with this?
I was going to say, if the foreign media is in charge of it.
Yeah.
That's just bad. That's just bad.
That's sad. All right. Now, Oral, you saw Hateful Eight, and I'm very jealous.
I did. I saw it in glorious 70mm. And saw the Roadshow.
Now, 70mm, for those of you out there who don't know, some of you do, I'm sure, it's a physical film format. It's not a digital format.
I don't know. Is that like a Nickelodeon?
Oh, nice. From the original sense. I love it.
Oh, wow.
So it is a canister of film that they are traveling around. This is part of Roadshow. Wow. But you also get a program, too, right?
You get a program.
And is there an intermission or no?
There is an intermission. There is an overture. Which is amazing and creepy. There's an intermission that happens between two of the major scenes. So, like, that movie for me was over 3 hours. But it's gorgeous and there's a lot of tension. Some people don't like it for the depiction of violence in a Tarantino film, which I can understand because, like, there's a lot of violence directed towards women in this one. And there's only really a few women in it. But one in particular is really hard to watch because you're conflicted because this is not a very good character. She's awful. She's a racist. And, you know, your inclination is to want to see those people punished. But seeing them punished, you physically, like, you know, watch that character spit blood.
Ooh.
But it is not my favorite Tarantino film, but it is a very good one. I, like, nothing can touch Inglourious Basterds to me. But the idea of, like, kind of like a locked room, who done it or who is doing it and, like, what comes out of that was really cool. It's very interesting.
I have not seen recent Tarantino films. I am very sad about this, but I would love to see this in the theater.
You know, there hasn't been one for years.
Well,
so.
No, I haven't seen Inglourious Basterds.
You've never seen Inglourious Basterds?
No,
it's amazing.
It's not even recent, really, but I missed it.
No.
And it's sad. I want to see it. But I will say that
it's on Netflix.
Well, that's as may be. I'm saying I haven't seen it. And I want to, and I do recognize that Tarantino has always had a history of violence in his films, but I get the thing he's going for, so I'm okay with it, even if it doesn't float my boat. Does that make sense? But I am really, like, grateful that he's done this 70mm thing. Did you notice any visual, like, difference? Could you tell anything?
It was very crisp. Okay. And it really stood out during the panoramics and even the scenes inside Minnie's haberdashery are really gorgeous. And it was nice to see him play with the media in that capacity and in small little, like, meta abilities as well that you wouldn't normally get with digital.
Okay. Yeah, because it's a wider film format, right?
Yeah.
It's a wider film stock, so that panoramic kind of thing you would get.
So it's, yeah, I would suggest go see it. If you're a Tarantino fan, chances are you've already seen it. I think the Roadshow was over. We were lucky enough to get it. I think we beat out Fort Lauderdale.
Whoa.
Wow.
But not Tampa. Tampa got it too.
Well, you know, Tampa. Television. We are in a golden age of science fiction television, I think. Or do you agree with me?
I would agree.
Not since Battlestar Galactica has there been a sci-fi show that has scratched my itch for political intrigue, space combat somewhat, well-defined, interesting characters all working in different directions, trying to figure out their place in the universe, and zero gravity sex. Did you... We're talking about The Expanse, if you have not checked this show out yet on sci-fi. Based on graphic novels, based on novels by two writers. I think the writer's E.J. James, their composite name, one of which is a assistant, editor guy for George R. R. Martin. And if anything, that sort of may inform some of the stylistic, like the way the novels are spread out. Like it's chapter, 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 character, character, character. So it's like Game of Thrones where you jump around.
Oh, okay.
It's likened to Game of Thrones in space.
And very much so with the intrigue and the politics and everything. So I had seen this advertised. They were saying, oh, episodes for free. I'm like, okay, I watched the first one. I was on travel in my hotel, and I loved it. It was on a laptop. It was amazing. Oral, you watched it fairly early on as well, right?
Like, Sci-Fi has been doing this really huge blitz for their media, trying to get people who love space, who love that sort of intrigue and tension and backstabbing, to watch this series for months. It was one of the first looks in, like, cinemas. And so when it finally came out, I watched the first two episodes. And Sci-Fi's done a really smart thing where they'll release digital previews for everyone. Like, so whether you are someone who watches sci-fi or, you know, has cable, you can watch it. I've been watching it on demand. It is great. Side note, Sci-Fi Now does not have an Android. I know I'm talking about Android. They don't have an Android app. They have like this Sci-Fi enhanced viewing, which is bullshit because when I downloaded it from my tablet, I was like, why can't I watch any episodes of this? And then I realized, oh shit, they don't have one for Android. It's coming soon. Wow. But the thing is, I've had a Sci-Fi app for about a year now. It's a terrible app. I just watch it when I'm on the go. But they don't have one for Android, which is kind of shitty.
I agree completely.
But The Expanse is great. It's if you like Blade Runner, it's got elements of Blade Runner in it and sort of like this mishmash of cultures coming together. You have characters who are very interesting. You don't really know all of their motivations yet because we're only, what, 5-6 episodes in?
Yeah, it's like halfway through the first, because I don't think it's a full 20-something. It's like 12 or whatever.
Yeah,
So you've got a space miner who's out there exploring and sort of gathering ice for the outer. So you basically have humans have gone all the way out through Saturn, I think.
Yeah, in they're the moons. In the belt.
They're in the belt being the asteroid belt in between Mars and Jupiter. And so they're called the Belters. Then you have Mars that's been colonized. So you have the Martians. And then you have the Earth Alliance or whatever they call Earth, you know, basically. And so those are the three major factions. But then you have all these other people who are trying to find their place. There's the OPA, which I think is sort of the proto-Belter Alliance, Outer Planetary Alliance, I think.
They're militant. They're very militant.
They're like the IRA in Ireland, kind of trying to break away, that whole thing.
Earth is very much on the decline. The Martians have a sense of pride because they've colonized this barren like world. But Mars and Earth have really screwed people over on the belt. But the Belters need, you know, people from Earth and Mars, I guess.
To provide resources.
While they give them all of these minerals that they can't find on their planets. So it's kind of like, it's what Dune always told you. The worst kind of government is like the three-tiered kind of like...
The tripod is the most unstable of structures.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful show. I mean, it's beautifully executed. The book, I started reading the first book and I got turned off because the early chapters are very visceral and in a way that I didn't really enjoy, but I'm going to try to push through and get to the good stuff. I don't know. The show, though, they've brought in all these different angles. The character on Earth isn't even in the first book, evidently. She shows up, I guess, in the second book. But she's a really strong Indian United Nations representative and yet very politically savvy and is trying to figure out the mystery. They're all trying to figure out the mystery of this one thing, this one spaceship. Anyway, I will tell you this. The show is exactly what, if you like sci-fi, like hardcore Battlestar Galactica or even harder sci-fi and Game of Thrones kind of intrigue and politics, this is the show. You got to watch it. Around the same time they put this out, they also did an adaptation of Childhood's End, which is an Arthur C. Clarke novel. It's one of my favorite sci-fi novels. I will admit I'm only the first night in, and it's what, three nights?
It's three nights.
2 hours each?
2 hours each.
And the first two, and I know how the story ends, so by the way, we might spoil a few things, but I know how it ends, and they nailed it. I was talking to my friends at work. I'm like, did they reveal? Okay, so if you haven't read sci-fi or Childhood's End, there's a spoiler here. Did they reveal when the overlords or what they look like?
Yes.
That at early? The, and they
at
did.
The end. Okay.
At the end of the first third.
So what it is that it's the nicest invasion you can ever ask for, where one day aliens come out of the sky and they're like, hey, we're here. And they speak through an emissary, like a human emissary. They're like, this is what you're going to do. We're going to make your planet a utopia. And
he's like a farmer, every man.
Yeah.
Totally. Like he's done other similar things in like trade negotiations. Not similar.
They pick, they picked like the nicest person they could possibly.
Basically. Yeah. Wonder Bread. Yeah.
Yeah. So some people are a little hesitant as to what's about to happen.
Chief O'Brien is the evil sort of,
Some people are super excited because we realize we're not alone in the universe and there's something bigger out there. But there's a catch to why they're here. Mm-hmm. And it's not that they've been here before, but the price we pay is so traumatic that like there's psychic feedback throughout the ages. And so our concept of evil is what these overlords look like. And spoiler alert, they're horned winged demons.
They're Tim Curry from Legend with wings. They are like demon incarnate.
Oh, nice. And if you're into stuff like that, you're going to be totally excited.
Sold. Voiced by Charles Dance from Game of Thrones and many other things. No, seriously, though, this is not
like
sci-fi.
Cloven hooved too,
with a beard, a goatee, like a horned goatee. It is like, I didn't think they were gonna do this. So this book is old. This book came out in the '50s, maybe in the '60s.
Oh, wow.
It is old. It's been around forever, but it is one of those books that is a classic of science fiction. And nowadays, when they adapt stuff like that, you think, oh, they're gonna fuck it up. It's not gonna be good. It's not. This is one of the reasons they haven't done certain books, and they've done other books like Dune, both badly and well. Like, it's been both. So it was really scary for me personally, because it's a favorite.
The only thing I will say is that the first night, or like episode one, is a lot of world building and setup.
Mm-hmm.
And then two is kind of like you're figuring out what's happening. And then the third one feels a little rushed because there's so much ground to cover.
You got
to
go pretty fast, yeah.
Yeah. But overall, it was really good. Sci-fi's done this really big push to bring themselves back from the Sharknadoes and the Tarantula Puss or whatever you call them.
I like Lavalantula.
No, those it's awful. As someone who really loves, like I like old school stuff. I'm sorry.
No. What was that television series that came out that was produced in tandem with a video game?
Defiance.
Yeah.
That was pretty good for off and on. It was okay.
Yeah, I still watch Defiance. Like,
but the network as a whole did not have that as their main push. That was just a thing they did.
Mm-hmm.
But they have in the last year with 12 Monkeys, which is actually really good considering what it is. There was another show they did at the same time, and I forgot. And then last year they did
Dominion.
But then last year they did like a space arc that turned out it wasn't that whole thing. I forgot the name of it, but it was another.
Was that the one with Holly Berry?
No, but it had the chick. It had from Battlestar. It had Henstridge.
Yeah,
and Bobby from Cougar Town.
Are you talking about? You're not talking about Killjoys. Are you talking about? Oh, Dark Matter?
Nope, not Dark Matter either. It was like a special event, three-night thing.
So yeah,
it had a name like Defiance, like Dominion. It had one of those one word. Anyway, who cares? Go look it up. It's great. They've done a lot better.
They're turning the ship around. They even did the first episode of The Magicians.
Another show featuring, did this happen in this episode? Floating Sex?
Yes.
Because that's kind of funny. These two shows that they're putting out early, both feature, and it's just one-off thing. People having sex in the middle of the air.
Is The Magicians on Sci-Fi too?
Yeah,
it will be. They did a preview of it, like a digital release, like they did for The Expanse. Yeah.
Okay.
Even though the author has been really involved,
Lev Grossman, with it,
I really enjoy those books. I read them pretty voraciously. Harry Potter goes to grad school.
In New York.
Yeah. There are elements of it that remain true, but they're moving things around. Yeah. They're combining two of the books, the first and the second one. It's only going to be like 12 issues, but it's weird. Knowing those books and not having seen any sort of representation of it first, anything like it's really weird to see.
Mm.
I don't necessarily agree with everything that they've done. I just have to wait. Like, I have to wait and see. But that first, if you want to talk about Childhood's End being rushed at the end, The Magicians is rushed in the beginning. Like,
you jump
a couple of months and like an hour.
That's. I mean, but again, it's like if it had been a movie, it would have been even more rushed, you know?
Yeah.
So it's good that it's a show, and I'm really glad they're doing it. Also, this reminded me, did you guys see that Neil Patrick Harris was cast in Series of Unfortunate Events?
As Count Olaf, yeah.
As Count Olaf. Like, if I had to pick another actor, am I the only one who's read those? Did you read the books?
I've read, like, half of them.
Okay.
I have not because I'm a grown-ass man.
Listen, those books are awesome for adults and kids. They are subversive as fuck, and they
are hilarious. I'm surprised you haven't read them.
They are really hilarious.
Yeah.
But the fact that NPH is doing it, is gonna give is giving me a lot more confidence in it, because I actually really like the movie. I love Jim Carrey's performance as Olaf, and overall I love the whole the tone and the music and everything of it. So that that he's gonna get to be Olaf, who's a difficult character to bring off, I think. I mean, Jim Carrey did his own version of it, but I'm really excited for MPH. Anyway, so sorry, that was a little aside, but television. So Pat and I have been watching this interesting Netflix series. Have you guys heard of Making a Murderer?
No.
Everybody is everybody is obsessed with the show. I have not seen or heard anything about it. It just kind of appeared.
It is the Netflix television equivalent of Serial. In that they are doing, and it's not the same, like, stylistically. It's not, you know, one story told over 12, you know, it's not like that. But it is all a deep dive of basically, did this one guy up in Wisconsin kill somebody or not? And all of the, from when he was convicted years previously and then, you know, falsely, you know, convicted of rape and served time for like 18 years. And then the, he gets out of prison, he starts to sue the county that convicted him. And then he gets charged with murder. Was he framed or not? It's that whole deep dive. Hmm. A lot of found footage, interviews with the family, family of this guy, Steve Avery. A lot of the lawyers involved, his defense lawyers. You know, television production, you know, interviews at the time, media chasing the family. It's all of this. But it's a, I think, 10-part series. And we're just through, I think, episode 8. We just finished today. And if you enjoyed Serial's, like, back and forth of, oh my gosh, did he do it? Oh, maybe he did it. No, maybe he didn't do it. That's what the show offers. The bias is very clear to me in that it's very much from the defense perspective. But I will give a spoiler. He gets convicted. So that's why. Like, it's harder to get the winning side to step up and sort of, you know, give all that if they won and they don't care anymore.
Spoiler for a 10-year-old court case.
I know, really. Well, one thing I read online, they haven't got to yet. I won't spoil it here, but there's some other stuff that is coming up about this case. Anyway, yeah, it's an old case, but it's a great show. Like, they did a really good job of sticking very documentarian sort of style to found footage with no voiceover.
It's not found footage. They've been making this documentary for 10 years.
Okay, so it's a mix of stuff they've been shooting, but also found footage from television and
I wouldn't say that. That's not really found footage. That's just like...
It's accounts. Documented footage from...
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
From the court case and the news clippings, or not news clippings, but the news footage from videos. That time.
That's what
these two women have been working on this.
Okay.
That's why all of these cameras are actually there. These two women have been doing this since his acquittal.
Okay.
And then it led into, because it was a matter of, I think, not even 2 years or a year before the murder came up. So they've been working on all of this for the last 10 years. And then it led to becoming a Netflix show. That's how this documentary ended up being released, which worked out beautifully for them because it's on a great platform. You're able to... How many times do you really sit there and go, okay, let me go watch a documentary? Most people don't ever do that. But you put it on Netflix, besides you, but you're also the one drinking out of a damn wine bottle.
It's okay, Brian. I'm there with you.
What does that have to do with anything?
You forget it's being recorded on video, and everybody else drinking out of a cup, and he's like... I'm
drinking my Lost Angel Pinot Noir out of a wine bottle.
They're not paying us. Put it down. No free ad space.
Maybe they will.
But this was probably the best way that this could have gotten put out there. And it's not really meant to be, hey, he did it, or hey, he didn't do it. Kind of the way Serial was presented for the first season, which I think Sarah Koenig has been very careful not to really step into with season two, was, did he do this?
Well, season two, there's not, did he do it? It's, he did it. Here's why.
Well, yes, but she could go through the route of, was he right for what he did?
Right.
No, and she's kind of taken a step back because of the way that season one ended. You go through 12 episodes and we're expecting you to give an answer on what you think happened.
I don't know.
There's a lot of evidence that he did it. There's a lot of evidence that he didn't do it. I'll leave it up to you to decide. And I think everybody just wanted to smack her.
Yeah, kind of.
I'm sure she was a nice person, but God damn it. So this really doesn't take that. Yes, it's from the defense side, but I think that's also less because the prosecution and Manitowoc County would want to have their story told. They were already working on Stephen Avery's unlawful or incorrect
lawsuit.
Yeah, his lawsuit and his getting out of jail after 18 years for a wrongful conviction. So it's already going to be on that side, and they're already granted this permission and doing all this stuff with the family.
Right.
So that's really the side that you're going to see. And yes, does it help that, you know, because he was convicted, that it kind of does give a strong showing of this? Yeah. But, you know, we'll see what comes of this.
It is so, there's so much in the zeitgeist right now that there are people, like the White House responded to a petition for this guy. Because it is so much in the atmosphere right now. So anyway, if you like Serial, if you like that kind of deep dive and something like that, this is definitely check out Making a Murderer. Now,
The two women that made the documentary were on The Late Show with Stephen Colbert. Aww. And talked about, and he asked them outright if they thought he was innocent.
Uh-huh.
And they said that they don't know whether or not he's innocent, but that they feel he should not have been convicted.
There was enough reasonable doubt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, as we got through episode 8 and the juror that had to be excused said that the majority of jurors, when they first went in to deliberate, were voting not guilty. 7 out of 12, with only 3 saying guilty and 2 undecided. So there's a lot of prejudice when it comes down to this case. So
it is also a fascinating look at Wisconsin and sort of backwoods Wisconsin. So I messaged a friend of mine.
When they say bag, funny.
Bag? What did they say?
Big.
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 Don't you know?
It's like the Trixie Mattel interview all over again.
Oh, my God. I forgot about Trixie being from up there. Oh, we should talk to
her. Well, I'll call Trixie and be like, hey, what do you think of the Stephen Avery case?
Trixie's thoughts on...
I want her to answer the phone and go, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Mackin of a Madara.
Did we talk? I don't think we did. Fargo wrapped up. I'll throw this really out quickly because I don't think anybody else has watched it.
But speaking of
the North.
No, don't ruin it. I'm going to watch the series. Don't say anything about it.
It was good, but different. Anyway, all right. Lighter stuff. Gallivant came back.
I'm not watching it,
but I heard it's great. Pat, you like the first season?
No.
I did not like the first season.
I'm a completionist, so when I start something, I tend to watch all the episodes.
Well, who
I didn't find it all that great.
I finished the first season.
And you liked it.
I enjoyed it. Uh-huh. I thought it was a one-time... It was one of those things where they were like, one-time musical event. And I was like, okay, one-time musical event. I'll watch it so I have something to talk to with my theater
episodic.
Queen friends.
It's a poor man's Monty Python's Holy Grail.
Princess
I don't want it.
Princess Bride-ish, Holy Grail-ish. Musical
and
numbers.
The main issue is that it... Like, season two... I've only seen a little bit of season two, and season two is incredibly self-aware. Uh-huh. Like they just kind of leaned into the Monty Python-esque sort of thing.
Season one was self-aware, too. That didn't make it good. Why are we talking about this show?
BJ liked it. And I want to like it.
And Kylie Minogue guessed it on it.
And there was a bartender, and there was a whole music number about basically it's raining men. That was the whole thing. I mean, it's got the gay thing. But no, I'm intrigued, and I like the long-haired guy. I guess he was the evil king in the first season, and now he's like a buddy of the guy. I don't quite get that. But
he's kind of drafted the guy to help him.
So, like, I love him in many different shows over the years, from judging Amy that far back. But he was in the finale of The Soup, which just ended its, 10-year run?
I thought it'd been longer
than
that.
Well, The Soup It's been 10 years. Before yeah, 12, that, it was Talk Soup.
11 or 12 years for The Soup, and it was like 24 years total for Talk Soup.
But it just ended, and he was a part of the finale and some of the last up to it. Anyway, I can't think of his name. He's got a crazy name, but he's really funny. And I'm really, I do want to watch this, so I'm glad you brought this up. Now, Steven Universe is doing some crazy love story. And this
another thing where I'd rather hang myself.
Why? I heard it's, everyone always watched, and have you watched it?
I've tried, okay. And I think it's trash.
Oh.
But well, that's fine. Other people can like it.
The first episode was endearing. I enjoyed it. I have not gotten past that. But there seems to be some positive, like, same-sex relationship.
Well, you know, that's harsh. I shouldn't call things trash. It wasn't for me. Was I do not see the appeal, and I don't like it when people try to ram it down my throat.
There you go.
He likes it when other things are rammed down his throat. But that's
you were going for the low-hanging fruit.
Don't compliment yourself that much.
Oh, really?
Hashtag power bottom for Christ 2016.
Oh, is that the new one?
No, somewhat versatile 2016.
Somewhat versatile 2016.
Totes like mask that. 2016.
Mascara for mascara.
Someone asked me, he's like, why wouldn't it be power bottom 2016? I'm like, because that's what I did from the age of like 18 to like 24. That's most of my life.
I think we said party bottom last night, 2016.
Oh, no. All right. Oh, no. All right.
But no, one of the main characters that is actually an amalgam of two characters that are in a random season-esque. The seasons are kind of bunched up into just chunks of episodes, not really like a traditional 24 or something like
right.
that.
Right, and they're short, like 11 minutes.
Yeah. The character Garnet, who's voiced by Estelle, the singer Estelle, is actually a fusion of two gems who essentially are meant to be two women in a romantic relationship.
And they fuse.
And they fuse because they actually have strong enough feelings together to just keep that going.
Okay.
So they're just permanently together all the time because
they kind of scissor.
She wants to. Okay. Yeah, and so then this chunk of episodes they actually talked about how they met, and not only are they fusion in the show with the I guess the homeworld characters is viewed like it's a tool. You fuse with somebody that's the same thing as you uh-huh. to like reach the higher thing on the shelf. You don't fuse because it feels good. That's gross. So it's you get a view at how why it's weird that they're always together to other characters,
uh-huh.
And that their relationship is a romantic one.
Interesting.
So
well, I've heard there's been great musical numbers that have come out of the show.
Oh yeah,
Jinx Monsoon sang one of them recently on a thing, and she really loves the show. And it sounds interesting. I do have to watch it.
You say recently? It was like 3 months ago.
Oh, well, that's recent to me.
That was like
when
October.
You get older, everything is recent. No,
my takeaway from that is Estelle has a job.
She's been working. She's been working.
Last thing I heard was American Boy, and then that was it.
No, she's put out more has work she? Since then. Yes, she has. Oh,
well, that's good.
So I want to move into gaming. I have been playing the hell out of Fallout 4, and I'm sure... Am I the only one, actually?
I think so.
Yep. Wow. So Fallout 4 has been huge for like the last 2 months. I got in kind of late. But I will say that if you like Fallout 3, it's a lot like that. More story, more music, but the same amount of killing raiders and killing super mutants and running around collecting caps and just it's a lot of the same. But the neat new thing they added is a world building component where you're actually building up civilization again. And so they have this huge crafting system, and you're building up these little settlements, and you're giving them supplies, and building them generators, and new houses, and this whole thing.
And so, then one day, when someone tries to disable all that, you step out on the balcony, it's like, Bada Town, listen to me! Where are you going to run to? Where are you going to go?
Oh, my God.
If you could make yourself, Town.
If you could make Master yourself
Blaster.
Tina Turner, I would be amazed by this game. No, it's not that. But the Mad Max new game is pretty awesome, too. And it's, again, not new. It's been out for a while. Mm. But new to me, because I got it on a Steam sale over Christmas. Because
you're cheap, and yeah. You're always late to the game. Gotcha.
I am. No, it's fine. But it's also really well done so far. Very fun. You get to drive a lot, of course. It's a Mad Max game, and you get to build up your car. So love the building components. SimCity may have died and kind of gone away or whatever the hell's happened to it. It's a mobile game. But, you know, it lives on in all these other new things like Fallout 4 and Mad Max. Now, the Oculus, which I actually have played a little bit with the dev kit, they finally put out their first release,
yeah.
Or at least it announced it.
Like they announced like the price point and everything.
$600.
Yeah, no.
I mean, it's impressive. If you've ever had a chance to try it, it'll either make you vomit or it'll be like, oh, this is really cool. And then it'll make you vomit.
It's not as cool as the HTC Vive. Sorry.
Oh, well. I don't know.
Am I getting Quest World? Yes or no? I was promised a virtual reality world by now. Who's giving it to me?
We're getting there. We're getting there.
It's definitely getting there. Depending on the demo you see, it's really impressive. HoloLens is another one that Microsoft's doing. That's also impressive, but that's slightly different. That's more of an AR, augmented reality as opposed to VR. But I'm very excited. In my professional capacity, we've been playing with the Oculus, and they've some neat stuff coming. For a gamer, I don't know. Like, I've heard people are doing different things with the Oculus, and I haven't been able to try it as a gamer. Like, I heard, even go back to like BioShock Infinite, you could get to run in the thing.
Oh, that's
it was
cool.
Really immersive. But
that actually sounds interesting.
Insert try it comic comment about Sword Art Online. That's what we're gonna do there.
Oh, nice. And then yeah, what's this with Amazon Prime? You get a discount if you pre-order. What is the deal? 20%, I think.
Yeah, apparently if you're a Amazon Prime member and you pre-order a game, you get a 20% discount on it.
That's pretty good.
So yeah. So just for those of you trying to save a buck.
I have Amazon Prime, and I use it all the time for quick deliveries. Now I will have to try to think about using it for game pre-orders. We had a listener call in, write in. They don't call. Nobody ever called. Actually, I think we had one voicemail once. Anyway.
No, we had a... Yeah, no, you're right.
Do we have a tepid line somewhere that I don't know about?
We had a Google Voice for a while.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, and it died. Because I didn't renew it. Anyway, so...
Just like Google Plus?
I still use that. So, Mike from Orlando had us a question. I wanna
long-time listener. First-time writer.
Yeah, really. I wanted to read
That's
this.
That's a lie, because he's written to us before as well.
Oh, well, this is the first time we're using his question. And then we'll jump into some new Marvel, DC, and indie stuff for comic books, which we do talk about occasionally. With the new Marvel reboots and all the bazillion new teams, it feels like they put everyone's name in a bag, pulled them out at random, and added them to a team roster. What are your guys' thoughts? Do you agree or disagree?
I think that some of the new teams don't... Like, whenever you put new teams together, at first you don't see how they work, and then eventually you see it. My issue has become... Like, just... There are some teams that I just don't care about. The new Avengers, I really wanted to like that book because Hulkling and Wiccan were Avengers now. They're using the Maker as their big villain, and it's just, I don't care because it's Ewing, and the art is really bad.
But do you like what they're doing with the Ultimates?
Which I was going to say.
Equally mixed of...
Yeah,
which is, I was going to say, Ultimates is great. That team is finally really well put together. You've got Captain Marvel, you've got Miss America Chavez, which is always, she's always a strong, interesting character. You've got Spectrum, who's Monica, Rambo, and it's always good to see her in an ongoing series.
Yes.
There's just some teams that you just, whatever. But
all new Avengers?
Yeah, I would say all new, all different.
Yeah.
Well, they're the Avengers, but different. Yeah. Like, it's the Avengers of the 90s, where you have, like, what is it, Sentry or Nomad, and Beta Ray Bill is just, we're in that kind of like flux time. For me, the issue comes from the creative teams together, not necessarily the teams they put together. Mm-hmm. I don't see it for a lot of them. I don't.
Did you like A-Force? That was kind of another interesting pairing from Secret Wars.
If you hadn't read A-Force in Secret Wars, you wouldn't understand what the fuck is going on.
And it wouldn't have the same resonance.
But even having read that, it was all right. It's, you know, it's a noble idea. I just don't see the execution happening for me personally. But you know, that's come see, come saw. Like, I'm not actually buying the books.
What would be your favorite new pairing of characters? From Marvel.
I probably would say Jason Aaron and Chris Bocciolo writing Doctor Strange. Like, okay. That Doctor Strange book is really cool.
And he has a new set of extended characters and an old set of extended characters. And
exactly. All sort of intermixing. And that, to me, you know, shows you what you can do when you come up with a strong idea and you run with it. And it doesn't seem like they're pushing him for movie purposes. It's doing its own thing, and it's a strong book.
Now, BJ, what about you?
I don't know. It's there's probably a lot of inner Marvel. There's a lot of inner company workings that we're probably not getting. They could have given some writers, like, hey, what character? They could have asked some writers what characters they wanted to use versus certain writers. They were like, oh, by the way, here's a list. Like, you know, there's some of that in there. I don't think any of them feel random. I'm pretty sure people, like, picked the characters that they thought they could write.
Oh, well, yeah. When he says random, I think he just means from a reader's perspective, yeah. With the 8-month gap from the previous continuity and Secret Wars, that's the random. But they started the new Marvel Universe as 8 months later, things happened, and we're not going to show you that, but we'll refer back to it. And so now here's the new thing we're doing.
Yeah.
So it's random, but not random, really.
Yeah, it doesn't really feel real. Like, some of the books, like New Avengers, I saw the roster and I was like, I really like most of these characters, and then I read it and I was like, eh.
Yeah, that's my problem with New Avengers too, New Avengers sucks. All new, all different Avengers. Is great characters and a great creative team too.
Yeah.
But the book is falling flat.
Well, hodgepodge, odd combination, uncanny Avengers. You had Old Man Cap and Rogue, who were part of the previous incarnation.
One, yeah.
But then Synapse. Now we're going to throw an Inhuman on the team.
She's new. That's a new thing, I think.
Well, whatever it is. And then you got Deadpool, now they're taking this whole, I'm so popular, all my merchandise funds the Avengers.
Which is kind of a funny meta thing, though.
Which is
Deadpool. He's a meta character.
Yeah.
Which is, but then Deadpool is back alive. Married to Devil Woman.
Mrs. Deadpool. From Secret Wars.
Who was his... No, that was before Secret Wars.
Oh, okay. Well, she was in Secret Wars.
That's fine. But she was... That was the wedding issue.
Oh, yeah.
Before
right.
he was killed. But now he's back and he's mad. Although, when he had that whole... when he came home and she was doing her sorcery or whatnot, and he's like... He mentioned how she was dressed, and then they had like those 4 panels in a row of like her changing into different things. Was hysterical. I enjoyed that.
Was that in Deadpool and Cable, or was that in...
That might have been a split second. That was Deadpool and Cable.
But speaking of which,
Cable's back.
Bringing Cable in.
Cable's here.
Avengers. Like, I was on the fence on dropping Uncanny Avengers, but anytime Cable shows up...
Oh, bitch, we're not dropping that. As soon as Cable's glowy eye showed up at the end, I was like, and we're keeping this book.
I know.
I just wish that when they, like, had a chance to reset shit, that they would have given him his T.O. back.
Yeah.
And he'd have his metal arm. He'd have his telekinesis and telepathy back. None of this, you know, I have
flashes of the future.
Precognitive flashes. Bitch,
it's
what?
Different. It depowers them. I mean, there's a thing right now where superheroes are being depowered. Like, Superman isn't as strong as he used to be.
Yeah.
Batman, in that he is not, well, he's not, he's Jim Gordon. He's a young Batman in a different thing. So he's depowered. I mean, they realize that they want to tell stories they couldn't tell previously because it didn't make sense when you're like, well, he could just punch the planet. You know, Cable was always a very overpowered character. So,
no, he wasn't. Cable just ran around with giant guns all the time.
What?
Cable didn't.
Remember when he was body sliding and using his telekinesis to keep his body moving and keep the
falling apart?
Balance at bay. And,
yes,
that was a counterbalance.
Lifting like 28 tanks and like
no. Cable has had it.
Cable had to use most of his power to keep his body together,
which was the counterbalance. But that was
because the techno-organic virus had to be kept at bay, so he used most of it. And now he has a talking tattoo.
Which is hilarious.
So instead of going, you know, Gray Malkin, body slide by one, now he's talking to like his 1950s pinup girl tattoo.
Which is kind of funny because Iron Man has...
It's voiced by Gilbert Gottfried.
That would be amazing. Iron Man kind of has a talking like assistant thing. Like,
well, yeah, he replaced his AI with a female.
Friday.
Yeah.
His girl Friday thing. Mm-hmm.
Who is sassy as fuck, and she is awesome.
Iron Man has been very good.
Iron Man, Bendis, this is Bendis' strongest stuff for Marvel in a while.
Yeah.
I'm very happy with Iron Man. I love Ultimates, like I said, that's been really good and cosmic.
Well, but, now they changed what Galactus does.
Yeah, he's the
status
life
quo is now all sorts of just wonky.
Which we'll see how long that lasts, but whatever. They're bringing
in my mind, he's just puking up everything. He's got like bulimia.
Oh no, cosmic bulimia. Cosmic he's cosmic Karen Carpenter.
I ate all these worlds.
You know what? I made it a broad thing, and you zeroed in on somebody who died tragically.
I love Karen Carpenter. But,
but it was funny this time.
Thank you. I got validation from my boyfriend. No.
I'm your producing secretary.
Can we talk? Oh, so we've left off the most important thing. And Mike, I hope that addressed your question. If not, Patsy Walker, a.k.a. Hellcat, written by Kate Leth, art by Brittany Williams. This is a book that if you are a fan of manga, if you are a fan of you like Jessica Jones, because, you know, obviously Patsy was a big part
of
that.
That's a stretch.
Yeah, they kind of worked that in a little bit. If you like her from God help, for whatever reason, you like her from the romance comics era, if you like any of the past incarnations, it's all there. But most importantly, if you like gay characters, bears, this book's got it all. It is fantastic. Kate Leth, who I had the privilege of interviewing and having interviewing, she was on a panel at Heroes a couple years ago as a LGBT panel we did. And like, I made this huge thing for her about the Impossible Bear she had drawn. And she's like, I never thought about that. Anyway, like, love the fact that she has latched on and making the bear community in some way, shape, or form as part of her Marvel Universe corner. It is awesome. She took the character Tubbs from Patsy's era back in the romance days and is now aged him up to be this cute little ginger cub running a bookstore called Burly Books. She's got a, I think, gay assistant now. I forgot his name, but he's like his or her little assistant. And she's in the world of She-Hulk. So it's kind of an outgrowth of what Charles Soule did with She-Hulk and then they did in their little winter Christmas special. But anyway, it's funny. If you like Squirrel Girl, or some of the stuff DC's doing in some of their books, like Batgirl, it's that kind of thing. And it's really, really good. Fun. She may get dark at some point, but the first issue so far is just a lot of fun and cute. I don't think this will work everywhere. I will admit, we talked about this on Comic Bears, there could come a time when this is becoming the standard, and we don't want that because it's a little too cartoony for everything. Mm. But it's sort of a counterbalance to some of the darker parts of different universes. It's a lot of fun. So I'm very happy.
Honorable Marvel mentions. Uncanny Inhumans is all right. Like I said, the last issue where they're fighting their son, Uhura, who's been driven mad in the future, which is actually in the past. That was really good. But All New Inhumans, is anybody reading that besides me?
I'm reading it.
It's so good. I love seeing Crystal like as a team leader.
Yeah, I'm glad she's got a book.
And she's not just a wife and a mother. Or a sister. Right. She's kicking ass.
Yeah. And got a new sassy hairdo. Mm-hmm.
That sassy hairdo is pretty sweet.
Yeah.
Now, DC. Do we have any more Marvels?
Tigger Wars 9.
Oh, God. How can we forget that? All right. So let's just deal with this. Some people didn't like the ending. Some people liked the ending. We're going to spoil it. We're going to tell you what happens. And then we're going to move on. Basically, everything goes back to normal. Sorry that that's a shock. And really, it's not quite true. But for all intent and purposes, the ending is what we all thought. Marvel's continuity continues with some additions, with some changes. They're no longer the 616. They're Prime Earth, which is just like DC, whatever. Basically, this is kind of like a DC reboot. But it continues all the Marvel history you know and love. The only big change is the Fantastic Four as a group is off the table right now. You got Reed and his family, minus Ben, minus Johnny, off rebuilding the multiverse and having wacky science adventures as a family, which is fantastic. I love that
it's
idea
cute.
So much.
It's cute.
So I'm very, very happy with that ending. I didn't think it was schmaltzy. I mean, it's got a little bit of that schmaltz-ish, but like it's fitting. And it ends Hickman's epic Fantastic Four story in a way that I liked a lot.
Yeah. I would agree. Because ultimately, you got major character development because Reed, while still being a jackass, realized the mistakes that he made, and he's finally doing something to change that in like a huge multi-dimensional universe shaping way. But like, he's actually being a father to his kids, which he's never really been a good one. He's being a good husband to Sue, so there's no more lies. I like the way it ended. I like that Valeria explained it all to us because I didn't understand what happened. I'm just like, so wait a minute. So Black Panther traveled back in time to save him. Okay, I'm just gonna assume like we fixed it.
Yeah. There was a little bit of hand waving at the end.
Well, they needed to have Valeria explain it because it went from fighting Doom, fighting Doom, fighting Doom. Everything's done.
Well, yeah, and I like that. That struggle that we see that it all boils down to, you know, Reed and Victor not getting along and them not understanding each other, because like Doom has always blamed Reed for his accident, and whether that's his fault or not, friends argue, and sometimes you ruin friendships because even if you don't think that you're wrong, you don't really do anything to help that person. You just keep saying that they're wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And Reed was like, you know, I could fix this. You know I could. And then Reed does fix it through the like twist of fate with Molecule Man. But instead of saying, you know, I'm sorry that we fought, he helped his friend.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And oh, that was really sweet, too.
Yeah, and that's really what matters in the end, is that you help others, not necessarily proving who's right or who's wrong.
Right. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. There's the golden rule personified in his actions.
Thank you, Catholic school.
I wasn't Catholic, but that's all right.
Thank you, Christian school.
That's right, Christian Mingle.
I'm glad that you explained that, because honestly, I've never been a big Fantastic Four fan. And that absolutely now makes sense as to why at the end with Doom, you know, taking the mask off and his face being healed up, like that actually puts that into a perspective that says, okay, now this makes sense. Because otherwise, I mean, it was fine. And I think part of the reason why some people may have been disappointed with how it ended is if you're not, yes, okay, Hickman had a great run with Fantastic Four, and this puts a cap on his Fantastic Four story. This was a line-wide crossover.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So you're putting a bow on the story for the Fantastic Four and this run that you started and all of this stuff. That's fantastic, but what does that mean for me? You know what I mean? Like, I'm not a Fantastic Four person. I didn't read his run on that. So I didn't love it. I didn't hate it. I thought it was fine. I thought that it put us where we needed to be. And that the books launching before the end of Secret Wars didn't really hurt it. It didn't reveal anything. I mean, the Doom thing with him being in Iron Man, okay, fine. Now we know how that happened.
Yeah.
Right. So it didn't really spoil much of that. But overall, besides the Black Panther and besides Reed and the Fantastic Four, which aside, because Ben and Johnny, we don't quite know how the fuck that happened. Because Ben was dead and Johnny was the son.
Well, you can do anything when you become a god.
When you're God. Well, that's the thing. Yeah, Reed becomes God and then Franklin's
They're
making
their
new
own weird, like, holy trinity.
Yeah. But it's really appropriate in that the Marvel Universe as we know it started with the Fantastic Four.
Mm-hmm.
So now, literally, the Marvel multiverse is being created by the Fantastic Four, or ish. FF.
Mm-hmm. And you know, you always pay tribute to your gods and give them hamburgers.
Right?
Right? Exactly. That was hilarious. That's the reason why Miles may... I mean, who knows? But that's why Miles, I guess...
is. But, like, Miles and his entire supporting cast, as well as his resurrecting mother, are
Well, and that's what they feel like Owen's thing was when he said he owed him one, was giving him back his mom.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that was really sweet. And it fits. It works.
Yeah.
So yeah, Marvel, like, overall, the Secret Wars, I think, will be looked back on fondly. The delays and all that sucked, and I really wish that hadn't happened, but at the same time,
everything always gets delayed.
Exactly. It's you're foolish to think otherwise these days.
But now, it didn't really hurt. If anything, the delay kind of... It
I wouldn't go that far. Yeah.
I
wouldn't go that far.
As a retailer, I think
it was bad.
It's bad.
As a reader, it was bad because you have so much time in between. Unless you're going to go back and reread. I was reading comments on, I think, a CBR post, and somebody said that. They were like, in preparation for number 9 coming out, I went back and read 1 through 8 and then read 9. He's like, and it made a lot more sense because you have it all fresh in your mind.
Yeah.
I haven't picked up a Secret Wars issue since it came out. When they came out, I rushed and I read them, and I haven't touched them since. So when 9 came out, it was like, okay, well, you know, I had to actually even remind Brian that Ben had died. Because he came up from being the wall, and he went to go fight Galactus, and Franklin was steering Galactus, and he's like, I'd rather die than fight you, and he let Galactus kill him. So it was like, you forget these little bits and pieces of it when you have that much time in between, and then you have to stretch it out an extra issue just to tell the story.
Oh, I just have a really good memory then.
DC, I don't have a lot to talk about, but I have been enjoying Darkseid War a lot. And Batman is, as always, been really good. Are there any other standouts for you?
Constantine the Hellblazer.
That's still really good?
It's so good.
I got to catch up on that.
I like Midnighter.
Midnighter, of course. No, that's been great. Although, are you worried now that they're basically like bringing in all these other DC?
Oh, yeah. No, I know.
I was worried. Steve Orlando is doing some amazing things. He's got some great artists. Although, whoever the first issue is from, it wasn't standout. But they're bringing in, like, Harley Quinn and Deathstroke and, like...
You mean the Death Knells. But, no, yeah. I'm telling you, Constantine is really good.
I'm glad Tinian to hear that.
Tinian and Doyle together, it works really well.
I gotta pick that up
again. I skimmed through an issue of Wonder Woman a couple weeks ago.
How was that?
I wanted to vomit, so...
Oh, shit. Well, the new they leaked, somebody leaked some Earth One Wonder Woman, the Grant Morrison.
Oh God.
The bondage and everything.
The vagina jet.
Yeah, the vagina jet. So I'm really interested to see when that comes out, how that does.
It's a vagina jet, Jared. Grant Morrison decided to take her back to her sexual roots and made her invisible jet in the shape of a vagina.
Very George O'Keefe.
Yeah.
Oh God.
It's like Star Maker's uterus.
Gentle uterus.
So, indie books, though, one I will talk about, and there have been a few really good ones. Huck from Mark Miller.
Didn't read the third issue. We sold out.
Wait, I didn't get the third issue, though. I got the second one. Oh, no, was it the third one? Yeah, it was the third one. Okay. Anyway, it was really good. If you like Superman as a character, but you don't really love what's going on with him in modern DC or in the movies or anything, you need to read Huck. It is... taking the idea of Superman back to its roots, and it's kind of like if Forrest Gump was Superman, kind of, but in a good way. It's not bad. It's just very, Huck is simple. He does what is right, and what he cares for everybody, and he's getting caught up in all these external machinations that he doesn't necessarily understand or really care for, and it's beautiful. It's just really fun, and I love it.
Says the Hufflepuff.
I'm Gryffindor. What are you talking about?
Hufflepuff. No, you're straight up.
You're a Hufflepuff.
He's good at finding things.
Oh,
yeah.
He's really upstanding and loyal.
You've seen my office. It's a fucking mess. Anyway, so what other good indie books are there?
Power Rangers came out.
Oh.
Which was the great. Oh, God. It was.
Fucking variants.
Not even that. That book is better than any Power Rangers comic book should be. Having said that, it was like Black Friday-esque like chaos at the store because it literally hits you square in the nostalgia of your childhood. For you would have been in your late 20s.
I was a little old for that, yeah.
but it's good. They updated the era, so like everything looks the same from Zordon to the Zords. Their outfits, everything's the same except they're in the present.
Oh, well, okay. That's all right. I'm okay with that.
What else came out?
I don't know. It's been a lot. Image has been doing some crazy stuff. But there's just so much. I've been really enjoying The Island, or just Island.
I haven't.
Brandon Graham.
I haven't caught up.
Oh, it's a great anthology series, but it's got King City stuff. King City characters, which is great. It's got Emma Rios doing some great storytelling. It's got artists and writers I've never heard of. Oh, what was the book I met? Oh, crap, I should look this up ahead of time. The book that's near the register that's like the girl Star Force.
Zodiac Star Force.
I met the creator, the writer behind that up in D.C. at Big Finish Comics.
Oh, and hello. Your book is very cute.
I told him. I was like, I have seen it, and I finally bought it from him, and I read it. And if you like Buffy, it has got elements of that in addition to sort of being a little bit of a magic girl-ish.
It gives you Buffy comedic sensibility, kind of. With Magic Knight's Rare Earth.
Yeah.
There you go.
But yeah, it's good.
Nowhere Men is coming back.
Oh, I never read that. Was that good?
It was very good. And then the last issue came out in 2013.
Oh.
And now issue 7 is coming out Wednesday. Oh. So I'm excited about that. I Hate Fairyland is hilarious.
Oh, that is a really good book.
I absolutely love that book.
And they're giving what's her name a new like a nemesis.
Yeah,
Joy. Joy. Yeah, yeah. So they're both these little kids in Fairyland, and the main character has aged, but not physically, just mentally.
Mm-hmm.
So she's been there like 30 years, and she's drinking, and she's killing everything, and she's like diabetic because of all the sugar. It's great. It's really funny. Any indie books are really great right now. The Star Wars books are back in Marvel real quick. The Star Wars books have been really fun. I've enjoyed even I didn't think I would, but the Anakin Obi-Wan book was okay.
Mm-hmm.
It was fun.
Image's Deadly Class has been great. Vertigo's putting out a new Lucifer series, which is solid. It's not bad. It's not great. It's solid.
Twilight Children's about to wrap up. That was...
Still don't know what the fuck is going on.
Yeah. It's kind of a nutty mess. It's great books. We think we'll wrap things up. Anyone else has anything exciting? If you have a question for us, we'd love to have it featured on here. You can message us on Facebook, on our Facebook page.
Input.
Flame On Show on Facebook. Flame On Podcast on Twitter. Tweet at us. We love seeing our stuff. We love seeing tweets at us and responding to those. Any of us have emails at Flame On Show, so feel free to send us email. Our YouTube channel should in the near future have some stuff to check out. That'll be really exciting.
YouTube channel.
I know, right? And then we have a Tumblr, which I check a lot and don't repost stuff very often.
You have a Tumblr?
We have a Tumblr. Would you like to take control of the Tumblr?
I would love to take control of the Tumblr.
Well, you may start seeing more Tumblr.
Dear Lord, it's just going to be all penis.
No, it's not going
because it goes to our cartoon penis.
It's all
cartoon
my likes penis. Are penis.
That's the thing I've been doing is basically liking porn, but I retumble if it's appropriate because it goes to our Facebook. So you gotta kind of keep it a little.
Peaky. I'm now ashamed of both.
Oh what?
Oh ever. Whatever,
Jared. You and I will be the bastions of morality.
Oh, I have a Tumblr account. I just don't use it.
Oh, yeah, that's fine.
I will be the bastion of morality.
But like you heard at the top of the show, we really would love for you to check out Comic Book Bento and Code is Nerdy. And we really would love to have more advertising. So if you have a business or need of getting the word out about, please let us know. And we'd love to help. And definitely check out our advertisers because that is how you keep us thriving and enjoying nice things like delicious pizza and beautiful.
Don't tell them what we spent the money on.
Oh,
Jesus
sorry.
Christ.
What?
Checking out our advertisers is what keeps this podcast free as well.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Although if you do like dropping money, Patreon is also an option. Club Oral, the legend, will be revealed someday very soon on Patreon. So
I was young and I had an active imagination.
You still do.
I need to find a good like porn bed to put underneath it and give it a little boom, chicka-boom, boom, chicka-boom, chicka-boom, underneath the audio for that. That'd be fantastic.
I think so.
No,
it's such an innocent story.
You know what? I want like so many men, so little time playing in the background, like just really low. I wanted to give you that like 70s funk, but still figuring out what the 80s like will be. So it'll feel.
I think we can do that.
I would love to hear that. And please, if you like us, listen to us on iTunes. Just write us a review. Give us a rating. Share us with your friends. We'd love for more people to experience the joy that is Flame On.
Thanks for listening to Flame On, presented by Nerdy Show. If you like what you heard, please rate and review us on iTunes. Like and follow us on SoundCloud. or give us your feedback at nerdyshow.com/survey. As listener-supported entertainment, we rely on you to keep this and other shows on the Nerdy Show Network alive by telling a friend or funding the network via Patreon. Any size contribution gets you exclusive outtakes, episodes, including Club Oral, and images from across the network. And there's even more perks available. Just head to patreon.com/nerdyshow. To find out how you or your company can underwrite this or other Nerdy Show programming, visit nerdyshow.com/sponsorships. For more podcasts, articles, community forums, and other awesomeness, visit nerdyshow.com. Be sure to follow Nerdy Show and Flame on all your favorite social networks. If it's gay and geeky, we've got you covered.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.